God. I can't do nothing else when my back is up against the wall and I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. I don't have any choice but to look up, because God will deliver me. Oh yeah, his arm is not short that he can't save. God will pick me up and he'll turn me around. Hallelujah. He said he predestined you to be conformed, to be changed. To be changed. He's predestined you to look different. He's predestined you.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
As you've already blessed your word, let the Holy Ghost in his perfect teaching, preaching ministry meet us in the text. Teach us what it is you would have us to know. Then empower us so that we might practice the principles. Receive the prophet. Give you the praise. It is in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And all the believers said, amen. God bless you. God bless you. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Colossians, the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 2, chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, Colossians 2, verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8 is where I really want to focus. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to talk about a word to the wise and a warning to the weak. A word to the wise and a warning to the weak. Paul writes this epistle to the church at Colossae, and he shares with them some interesting insights about a common peril that was going around, that was stealing the joy, the focus, the fullness, and the faithfulness of the believers from Christ and on to things that just didn't matter. They had reprioritized their religious focus and their opportunities to lift Christ up and to be the witness that God wanted them to be, not only in their concentric circle of contact, but within the communities and abroad. And as a result of this, Paul was speaking to their issues and helping them to understand on a much deeper level the issues of the enemy, Satan himself, how he, through a spirit, was deceiving the church and the people of God and causing them to have shipwrecks and train wrecks and losing focus and crashing their lives, all because of things that just didn't matter. He starts off with verse 1. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul was trying to get them to realize that if you really want the wisdom that will make you wealthy and wonderful and wise in this world, you're not going to find it in the world, but rather in the Word. There are hidden treasures in the Word that will release realities within your spirit, and from your spirit translate that into a manifested reality in this world. God wants to make you successful so that you can make yourself successful by the wisdom of His Word. You see, the wonderful thing about the Word is you got a whole lot of folk who carry the Word but are not in the Word. And just because somebody carries a Bible that may be sitting on the side of you, they may only open it up when we come to church. And I say, turn your Bibles too. And that may be the only time they study it, they open it up. So as a result of that, they live confused and they live defeated and they live minute lives over and against that God would have them to live. And so the wisdom to be able to operate, to go in, to come out, to enjoy, to thrive, to enlarge oneself and our vision must come through the knowledge of the Word of God. Do you know anything there is that you've got issue with? You can find an answer to it in the Word of God. I know you may not believe that, but I'm telling you, every question that man has, God has an answer for it. It's His Word. Listen to this. He goes on and he says, verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." You know, a lot of us get hung up on polysyllabics, multisyllable words, high-sounding words, long words, and you don't even know what they mean, but you get excited because somebody said it. Don't even know if they're pronouncing it right. You don't even try and look it up to see what it means. You just say that, preacher. Don't know, he could be cussing you out in an intellectual way. And you have no knowledge of it. Enticing words, words that are designed to tickle your ear, but not necessarily minister to your spirit. See, it's easy to speak enticing words and satisfy all of your desire to be excited. You know, get you all stirred up and get you standing up and clapping, but don't have no principles to practice come Monday when the real test hit and the issues come. But you were excited on Sunday, but it ain't got no power to walk on Monday.
See, a whole lot of folks, oh, wasn't it good? Woo, he just shouted us all over everywhere. Well, tell me what he said. I know he came out the Bible. I know he was somewhere up in there. Can't give no principles, can't give no text, can't even get what you give, got out of the understanding, can't even give it to nobody. That's not what God would want you to have. Enticing words, things that make you feel good but don't have no substance underneath it. Can't find a foundation for it in the Word. How many times, my brothers and sisters, have we shouted off feel-good sayings, but you couldn't find a reference to that in the Word of God? It sounded good to the natural ear, but you couldn't get God to back up what they said. They enticed you away from the revelation of the Word and just got you excited about the words themselves. Look at what this Word says again. It says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, this literally means at whatever level you are, you've come into the body of Christ, you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are not in the same place in Christ Jesus. That is a fact. Now, it is not determined what level you're in by the length of time you've been in, because you've got some folk who's just got in and been serious about being in and have been studying the Word, and the Word has gotten in them and they have exercised the Word and have grown quickly from the Word, while you've got others who've been in for years and have not read not even a fourth of the Bible.
That's right.
And so that growth is stunted, undeveloped, immature.
Yeah.
And so they're more familiar with church work than the work of the church.
Yeah.
They're more familiar with the program on Sunday morning rather than the move of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so as a result of that, there is no real maturity and there is no real life in them. And it's not just because they have not, you know, been in and around and of the Word, but they've not applied that to themselves, to their own lives, and to their own situations. Look again at what he says again. When you recognize that you are in Christ, the Word says, so walk ye in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means on your level of maturity, your level of growth, your level of understanding. That's why God meets us where our faith level is. You can't walk on someone else's level. But listen at this. If you're in Christ, even if you are on the ground floor, you can walk on the ground floor. You can walk on the level you're on. That's all God expects of you. He don't want you to perform and perpetrate, play act. He wants you to be real with you and real with him. I mean, when Jesus, after Peter had asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? He thought he was saying something big, because he thought one or two times was enough. And the Lord said, no, 70 times seven. And do you know what he said after that to the Lord? He said, Lord, increase my faith. See, because on the level of faith right now, once I get past two, I'm struggling. Now, y'all can sit there and act holier than thou if you want to. See, wherever you are, you got to be real with God. God, I know you want me to do it infinitely. I know you don't want me to put a number on it, but I ain't there yet. If you acting like you all that now, I promise you, for next Sunday, he'll put you to the test now. But being real with him is saying, Lord, I know what your word says, but I'm not there yet. But I'm trying to walk in what I do know and where I am and what my faith will allow right here. And even at that level, I stumble and fall, but I get back up, God. I don't stay there, because I know that when you have heard my repentant prayer and know my heart, you're going to forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, wash it from the record so that you have no remembrance of it. So I'm going to pick myself up and keep moving on. I am not there yet, but I am here, and I will do the best on this level. Look at what he goes on and he says, rooted and built up in him. Two totally dimensional differences. Right. Rooted down. Mm-hmm. Built up. Well, here's what you need to know. Anything that's worth being built up must first find itself in a solid foundation.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Anything worth having must be rooted well, grounded well, have a foundation that's solid.
Yes, sir.
See, that's one of the problems with a whole lot of us is, you know, the Bible says a fool speaketh all his heart, but a wise man keeps it until afterwards. See, if anything you're doing that's worth anything, you need to make sure you dig a strong foundation. Where are foundations? Are they above the ground or underneath the ground? Well, let's look at root systems. Where are root systems? Above the ground or beneath the ground? Beneath the ground. Here's what you need to know. Before anything ever starts sprouting on top of the ground, it must first start forming underneath the ground.
Yes, sir.
Which means literally that if you're going to have anything worth anything, you're going to have to get some stuff that's not seen yet straight underneath the ground. Because here's what you need to know. As soon as it hits surface, it starts to be challenged. It starts to be tested and tried. And see, what you don't understand is if you don't have a good solid foundation, all your labor will be in vain. So he says, rooted and built up in him. And then it says, and established or established in the faith, which means you've got to have a spiritual, a word-based reality to your faith to keep your situation strong.
Right.
How many of you have ever started out in something with strong faith, but as you kept going, your faith got weaker? You believed in the beginning, but now it's kind of shaky. You ain't really too sure. Listen, if your faith is established, and how does your faith become established? By the word of God. So faith cometh by hearing.
Yes, sir.
The Bible doesn't say, so faith comes by heard, which is a past tense of hearing. The Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing.
Yes, sir.
It is an ongoing process.
That's right.
See, what I heard got me started. But as I got started, I needed to hear some more to keep me going. And as I started meeting the challenges of the issues that came against what I believed in and believed on, I needed some more word to establish me, to keep me strong enough to keep on step by step, day by day, continuing on in what I believe. So your faith becomes established by hearing the word of God. That's established faith. Listen at this. It says, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, as you've been taught.
All right.
See, one of the things you got to realize, my brothers and sisters, is that everything we go through is a lesson.
Yes, it is.
And from every lesson comes a blessing.
Yeah.
And sometime God will give you the blessing first and then unfold the lesson later. But whether the lesson comes first or the blessing come first, they're tag team partners. Have you ever been blessed and then all of a sudden right after the blessing come the burden? It's like you're on top of the world and it's like can't nothing go wrong. And a few minutes later, whoop, it seemed like the world is on top of you. Listen at this. Now you learn the lesson. To whom much is given,
much is required.
Y'all getting quiet on me this morning. Much is required. Don't think if you're going to get more, that more is not going to be required of you.
That's right.
See, that's why you ought to be careful about wanting to walk in somebody else's shoes, because you don't know their size. And one of the things you've got to realize is, my brother and my sister, is if you are not where you are and desire to be, or where you hope God would make you to be or bring you to a place of being, you got to realize that God is so faithful, God is so right, God is so just, that even though you may not feel like you deserve some things, God places you in positions because he knows what's in you.
Right.
But if he doesn't give you certain promotions or doesn't place you in certain positions yet, he know you can't handle them yet.
My.
So look again, you got to realize the Bible says, as ye have been taught. It's important. Abounding therewith with thanksgiving. Be grateful. Touch your neighbor and tell him, be grateful. Be thankful.
sir.
No, I ain't got everything I want, but you know what? It could be a whole lot worse. No, I'm not all that I'm going to be, but I thank God I ain't what I could be or used to be. No, I'm not yet developed and matured to the level that God wants me to be. But I tell you what, I was really messed up before he touched me and changed me and rearranged. You don't know what God has done. See, you got to be thankful for where you are. No, you're not perfect yet. But you can see how he is perfecting you. Be thankful for where you are. Now look at verse 8. Because I want to share this and I'm going to have to do this right quick. Let's look at what he says. Verse 8. Beware means to be alert. To be on one's guard. To look alive. And be attentive. Beware. That's what he starts off verse 8 with saying. Lest any man spoil you. The first thing I want to talk about in verse 8 is the nature of the peril. See, this is a peril he's talking about. This is a destructive matter. So we're talking about the nature of the peril. And he first talks about the nature of the peril is to spoil you. Mm-hmm. When you really look up this word and understand what it means to rob you. It means to capture and enslave you. So when it talks about spoiling you, it's robbing you of your blessings and your benefits. It's capturing you, thus putting you in an encaged and enslaved environment so you don't have the liberty to move, to function, and to flow the way God wants you to. So that's what the nature of the peril does. Listen, it spoils you. Listen at this. It goes again and it says, beware lest any, somebody say any man. That's any man. That's any man. No man is exempt from this reality. That can be your daddy, your uncle, your teacher, your preacher, your husband, your brother, your any man. You see, because who we endear and who we look up to and who we emulate, those are the ones who have the influence to do this. Listen at this word. It says, again, beware lest any man spoil you through. And the next thing I want you to see is not only the nature of the peril, which spoils us, but I want you to see the naming of the peril. Listen, because he don't want to just leave you clueless. Look at what he starts off by saying. He says, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Listen at these four areas, these four arenas that he's calling out by name. First is philosophy. This is the school of human thinking. This is that thought process outside of divine revelation. Philosophy is that man conjures up in his own psyche, in his own mental ability to bring together thoughts by words. And so he's saying, don't get hooked up on philosophies. Just the word philosophy just kind of messed some of you up. That's my philosophy. All right. Just make sure your philosophy got some word in it. Listen at this. He says not only philosophy, but he makes another clear understanding of what messes us up. He says vain deceit. Now, vain deceit is interesting because vain deceit, see, some of us can be deceived and have and suffer deceit, but it may not be vain as in those things that we are caught up on that mess us up so easily, that are senseless and careless and that are trifling. Vain deceits that profit nothing. And most times it is the deceit that we conjure up in our own minds. You see, it's the thoughts that we make up ourselves and think will happen because of what we have vainly deceived ourselves. Yeah, I've said it before. It's one thing for you to fool me, but it's a whole nother thing for me to fool myself. See, I might be able to point the finger at you fooling me, but I got to point all my fingers at me. I have no one else to blame when I vainly deceive myself. And that comes up as being connected with the human ability to conjure up words and thoughts and derive what we conclude to be the end result of things in our own minds. Can I tell you, we can dream up some stuff. Anybody got a good imagination here? Well, it was just my imagination. Once again, running, not away with you, but running away with who? With me. Said it was just my imagination. Listen again. And then it moves on to the tradition of men. Now, there's nothing wrong with the tradition of men if the men's tradition is word-based. But when it refers to tradition of men here, it literally means without God in the context. It literally means without God being a part of the formation of the tradition. It literally means leaving God out of the plans. And so when we follow men's traditions that God is not included in, or God is not elevated in, or God is not mentioned in, or God is not a part of, then God does not honor it. Because anything that leaves God out isn't worthy of God. And if it's not worthy of God, it should not be worthy of you, who belongs to God. And they may be nice traditions for the world, but you are in the world, not of the world. And the bad thing about it is many of those traditions compete with God, or the word of God, or the will of God, or the way of God, because they're traditions. Everybody else is doing it. Every year this time, we do such and such a thing. I ain't talking about outside the church. I'm talking about in the church. Why we do that? Well, they started that back way in such and such a time. And that might have been necessary back then in that time with a little light or understanding of the truth and the word of God. And God met them where they were, and that was the best thing they could do. But since that time, God has illuminated his understanding in our thoughts and in our hearts and in our minds and in our eyes. And we know better and we can do better, but we're still operating like we're in antiquated days.
All right.
But it's what Grandpa and them did. Why do you still go there? Because my grandmama went there, my mama went there, and I said I'm going to go there and follow them. Now they all dead and gone. Mama and them talked about the preacher, Grandma and them talked about the preacher, everybody. So you talk about him. You just thought that was the way it was. I mean, you know, you don't really support the church, but you just go there.
That's right.
That's my church. And that's all good and everything. But did the Lord lead you there? Did he call you there? Because if he did, he gave you a purpose for being there. He instructed the instructor to teach you there. He gave the chef your dietary preference to feed you there. He made him a medic so he could heal you there. He made him a deliverer so he could cast out those issues that you've got through the word and the spirit of God. So my question is, are you in the right place? Because if you are, you're going to get what you need here. But if you go there, just sit there clock watching. He ain't talking to me today again. I got news for you. If he set you in this place, he sent your mail here. I only deliver the mail here. Somebody said, well, I'm not a member, but I get it here. You getting a circular. That's one of them things you get where it says to the person or resident. So that means it's good for anybody who's there. That's what you get. But everything that's directly, expressly sent here is sent to those who have an address here. And that's what you got to realize. When you ain't at your house, your mail is still there. Lord, I wish I had a witness here. And then the last thing is, he talks about the rudiments of the world, which deals with the flesh.
All right.
With the flesh. Look again at what he says. And after the rudiments of the world. Again, beware lest any man spoil you. After the rudiments of the world.